The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here is David Littlejohn with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
What's going on, everybody? This is Matt Dixon, and with me in studio today,
Justin Bruggeman.
And you guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show. Justin, we had a bunch of time to sit and chat today about what type of show we were going to pull together.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually put more thought into this one than I think we normally do. So I'm expecting us to have one of the best radio shows we've ever done.
Don't set the bar that high, Matt. Come
on,
man.
You know what? If you don't set the bar high, you don't jump over it, right? So here we are. We're set up to talk about what, Justin? Lead us into this thing.
I don't know if what I could actually consider this is me and Matt going through a statistical rabbit hole, pretty much, would you call it?
Yeah. Yep. We were sitting there. This is so that you can like visually see it, right? We're sitting there at Justin's desk and I'm like, hey, why don't we just kind of talk about a lot of different things, jam pack this radio show full of all of those things that you didn't know. And it turned into a lot of random facts and a lot of random statistics.
Right.
But altogether, I think there's an underlying message here, which is we're talking financial literacy on a big scale.
Right.
We're looking back and saying, hey, so whether you like it or not, COVID happened. We shut the economy down. What are some of the stats around that? How does that tie into financial literacy? Looking forward, how does that apply to debt? How does it apply to your savings and your planning? So this is a really, really packed show today that we have for you guys. So stay tuned through all the different breaks. Mm-hmm. We got you for the next 45 minutes.
Yeah, because we were mainly looking at how, like, what really impacts where people are at now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which I guess we're
because
more looking.
Have changed.
Yes, tremendously. And COVID threw a big curveball.
It did. So do you want to lead us off with one of our stats that we found today when really researching? Because we wanted to know where are people at today.
Right.
Compared to maybe a couple years ago. And what we found, I think, is actually shocking more so than what we even initially went into this thinking. The results of, you know, the average American's financial future has been impacted in a huge way.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the statistics that we pulled, like 60% of people had their finances dramatically impacted during COVID.
In America.
In America, yeah, here in the U.S. So, you know, over half the people had a really, really big financial impact from the pandemic. And that really stretches into a lot of different areas.
Right. And I mean, even another one was one half of Americans since the pandemic has missed a mortgage or a rent payment.
Wow.
Which that's crazy.
Yeah. And that's expensive too.
Yeah.
For the person who's holding that mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're faced with, you know, some extra fees involved. And those type of things really, really add up.
Yeah. And then of everybody, 21% or so had zero money in emergency savings.
Right. And when you go into a pandemic like that and, you know, a lot of people were shifting between jobs or they had a small business where they were trying to keep things afloat, you start adding in numbers like that, you know, where 20-21% of people don't have a savings account. And we're seeing it right now.
Yeah.
Americans are floating their lifestyles on credit cards.
Yeah.
And it's a result of, you know, that lack of emergency savings.
Yeah. Because I think whatever the statistic was, like 16% or so or more have more debt now than they did pre-COVID.
Right. Right. So the debt is mounting. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. And I don't even know if we wrote this one down, but we were looking at student loan debt, right?
Mm-hmm.
People aren't paying it.
Right.
They're just not. They've been sitting and waiting for the government to forgive loan debt, which it makes sense, right? Like, if I'm in that situation, I'm probably going to avoid it too if there's not going to be any interest charged.
Right.
On it. But what it's done is it's been this snowball effect where the problem just keeps getting worse. The percentage of debt in your household keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's growing at a staggering rate. It's a big impact that people are feeling right now.
Yeah. Which, interestingly enough, kind of they shut everything down, but spending went up.
Yeah.
Which I guess there's a mix between, you know, loss of job, loss of income, but there was government help, mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of those scenarios.
We printed a lot of money.
And maybe a lot of online ordering. Maybe that was the problem.
You know, and I think when we printed money, whether you like it or whether you don't like it, that doesn't really matter. But we did it, and when that happened, a lot of people decided to exit the workforce. And
right.
Some of it was, you know, the COVID restrictions that were at play and people saying, hey, you know, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm going to step out. What's really wild is I didn't really realize how many people decided to leave the workforce. And when mm-hmm. we were going through the numbers today, we found that 26% of adults, or 27%, I think it was, decided that they considered themselves retired
right.
during the pandemic. They walked away.
Right.
That is a really, really large portion of people.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a ton of people decide to step away, and that's just a lot to me, a lot more than I figured that it yeah. would be.
Which, and it goes to the, you know, the other kind of stat, I guess, that we found that was, you know, 32% of Americans saved 0% in retirement in 2020.
Yeah.
Which.
So retirement contributions really like kind of ceased to
yeah,
exist
they
for
decline.
A lot of people.
Which I don't know if it's a net of people pulling money out, which mm-hmm. I don't think so because it's contributions. It
right.
just 32% did not. You know, and then you go back through and 14% of adults were receiving unemployment. 2% of adults in 2019 were receiving unemployment.
Wow, so a 12% increase in unemployment.
From 2019 to 2020.
That's wild. And you can even look and say, I mean, it goes further than that even. You look at households, right? Before the pandemic, 44% of the households in the U.S. weren't paying any federal income taxes.
Right.
Which I don't even know how that's possible, right? That seems really, really high.
Mm-hmm.
44% of households in the U.S. before the pandemic were not paying federal income taxes. Go past COVID, go into 2021, that number jumped 13% to 57% of the households in 2021.
Right, because it lags a year.
Yeah, yeah. Did not pay federal yeah. income taxes. That to me is mind-blowing. And if you're sitting there listening to this and saying, where are you headed? Trust me, we have a direction that we're going with this, but we really need to frame up how big of an impact COVID had financially to the entire system.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking a little bit about tax returns and debt, but Americans completely shifted their mindsets and their work behaviors and their households when the pandemic happened.
Right.
And that is a huge frame up for understanding where were we before, what
right.
happened during COVID, and what does that really mean moving forward from here? Because we're starting to see some really, really big effects from this right now. And we're going to get into some really interesting numbers talking
mm-hmm.
about, you know, what does that mean for financial literacy, and how does it affect savings moving forward, and how does it affect your retirement moving
right.
forward.
COVID was almost like a reset, I feel like, for a lot of people. It's
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, whether it's a transition in jobs, which now you have, which I don't remember the statistic even was, the transition to how many people are working from home now versus working in office, because it
right.
completely shifted the landscape of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And how that impacts, which, I mean, our kids were, you know, doing school from home. You know, some spouses are working from home, even individually working from home. And which, you know, I could go a lot into this as was productivity the same at home as it is in the workplace? I don't know, because there's some social differences, but I have a feeling most people's houses are cleaner now, mm-hmm. working from home, than they were, prior, working out of home.
Right. I think one of the things that I kind of key in on and focus on in all of this is financially, people might be worse off now than they were before COVID. Obviously, inflation's a big portion of that. Some of the spending behavior during COVID-19, wasn't beneficial to your financial health. But right. I like to try and find some of the silver lining in all of this. And I think where I'm focusing is a lot of parents, when they stayed home or they were working from home, like you talked about, Justin, they were focusing more on the kids at home.
Right.
And we've seen a shift in behavior throughout the country where, kids have become more unruly. We've had more problems in schools. We've mm-hmm. had, a lot more issues behaviorally. But I think one of the positives that I'm seeing in all of this is, even though the finances might look worse, parents were at home with the kids, and I think that had a really good effect. And I think we're going to start to see that in the future, where parents were a lot more tuned in with having interactions with their kids, spending time with their kids, being outside instead of traveling or doing the typical routine that you were accustomed to before COVID. And so now I think we're seeing parents spending more time with kids, families focusing more on family. So it might have cost us on our credit cards and cost our retirement a little bit, but it might end up being worth it if we start to see huge positive impacts to families.
Or it made parents more crazy.
You're like, hey, I lived through that. I had kids during the pandemic. And tell me a little bit about it. I mean,
I stayed in the office. I worked in the office most mm-hmm. of the time. And then my wife worked from home. While the kids were working from home as well, right. which it was a lot. I mean, having three people with pets, working from home,
mm-hmm.
Which my wife's a saint because couldn't.
And she still has, a position from home too. And so, it's actually dramatically affected her life.
Yeah.
But.
And so it did change it dramatically, but also it was, good to spend time with the kids when, you're not used to it, but mm-hmm. But what is this actually leading into, Matt?
I think where we're going with all of this is we've seen some financial impacts, and then once we get back from this commercial break, we're going to talk about the financial literacy piece,
mm-hmm.
where we're looking at how can we do better moving forward.
Correct.
And if you want to hear about it, stay tuned. But you guys are listening to True Wealth on 93.9 and 1240 KQEN. This is Matt Dixon.
And Justin Brugman.
And we'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, everyone. This is Matt Dixon and
Justin Brugman.
And if you missed the first half of the show, well, I guess it's the first quarter of the show. Don't be alarmed. You can always catch it tomorrow at littlejohnfs.com. Go to the podcast section of the website. Or you could even go on Pandora and search True Wealth Radio. You'll find us there, Spotify, we're everywhere, right? So check it out if you missed the first portion. Justin, we talked a little bit at the beginning about COVID, how it's impacted some people's finances,
mm-hmm.
how it's impacted their life. I want to talk a little bit on this next segment about kind of the literacy behind it. What do I mean by that, financial literacy?
Well, it's your financial knowledge or what you've been taught.
Or
what you understand,
and I guess. Too often, maybe what you don't know.
What you don't know.
And we've seen that statistically looking through. We did a big study today, spent a few hours just gathering a ton of data, and we said, hey,
this is KQEN,
what do people know, what do people not know? You had me take a test, right?
Right, financial literacy test.
Right, you're like, Matt, you got to see this. Take this 7-question test.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about that? I was blown away.
It was just, it's a financial literacy test, which it was on the FINRA website, which it was only 7 questions. They have different ones, but it was just going through as quick, and it was very, most of them were very kind of common.
Yeah.
That you should know, which I guess looking back is like, we're in the industry, so of course it's common.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also stuff that people should understand.
Right. Like kind of the real right. basics. And we looked at the numbers of what the pass rate, or I mean, I'm air quoting pass rate here, but how many questions do people typically get right? And it was
3.2.
Yeah, it was less than 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So of the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have taken this quiz, less than 50% of the questions are answered correctly. Right. And this is super, super basic stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like one of the questions was, if you get a 2% return on like $1,000, you mm-hmm. know, where are you at in
5 years? And it's like, is it more than $1,000?
Yeah.
Like, there was $100. And it was like, is it more than $102 in 5 years? Less than, or I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I this like, is like bare bones basic stuff. Yeah. And people are struggling. And I'm not trying to just throw everyone under the bus and be like, man, you know, you guys need to get smarter. But what I'm saying is maybe we're not teaching it enough.
Right.
And maybe this isn't something that people have seen. It really no fault of their own. It's just it hasn't been presented to them, and it's an oversight in the system right. at large. Didn't you have a stat on like what the U.S. high schools are teaching and kind of, you know, curriculum based?
Yeah. So 17%
uh-huh.
of U.S. high schools have a personal finance requirement.
Wow.
So, you know, less than 20% of schools.
In schools, but even bigger than that, I was looking at one that was talking about states. Where it said
yeah, it was less than 50%
of
states require it.
States actually have a requirement for you to have one personal finance course. So I am going to point the finger a little bit back at the school systems and say, wait a minute, let's look at the curriculum. And it's really not the schools. This kind of comes from the state, right? So states, like states, schools, districts, the whole nine yards, right? We need to look at this and say, hey, this is an epidemic, right? If we're not teaching people about their finances and they don't know the difference between a credit card, that was one of the questions. What's the difference between a credit card and a debit card? Like, if we don't know the basics, I think we assume that people do know this stuff.
Right.
But they don't.
Yeah, it was 32% they did a survey on 100,000 incoming freshmen at college.
Mm-hmm.
32% of them asked the question,
like, what's the difference?
That they didn't know the difference between a debit and a credit card.
That's terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the other thing. They don't understand what interest really means.
Yeah.
They sign up for the credit card and they, you know, okay, there's 25% interest on this
mm-hmm.
thing. But they don't know how to calculate it. They don't know what it means. And what ends up happening is these poor young kids get into something like this. They don't really know the ramifications. And then before they know it, they're swamped yeah. in debt.
They don't know the ramifications until the ramifications happen. Then they're like, oh.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I'm jumping ahead, but, you know, the third part of this show is really kind of talking about debt and savings. I have to bring this up if we're talking about credit card debt. Right now in the United States, 30% of the income that families are receiving is going to paying off debt. That is a staggering
yeah.
number. So looping that back in, financial literacy needs to be something that's taught in schools. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you're a parent and you've got kids right now, hear me, hear what I'm saying. You need to teach it to your kids.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand it, you need to learn it so that you can teach it to your
right.
kids, because people have their head in the sand and they need to be informed and they need to be educated and they need to pass on the knowledge that they have. And if you're looking at me and saying, well, how do I do that? Go to our website. There's a ton of free tools. There are no excuses anymore. If you've heard this message, go, you know, find this information, learn it so that you can teach it.
And even as big of a problem that this is if you are in the education system or you are a teacher and you're listening to this, give us a call.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can carve out some time and go, because this is it's a problem.
Right. And that's one of our core mission statements as a company, right? Educate, plan, and invest. And that's in order for a reason, right? First, you have to be educated.
Yeah.
Once you're educated, then you can start making some plans. And then at the end of all of that, once you're educated, once you started making some plans, then you can invest.
Right.
But it has to be in that order. So like you're saying, Justin, if you need to learn about this, we can help you out. We can point you in the right direction.
Of course.
That's one of the things. And that's why we do the show too, right? We're here to educate. If you listen long enough and you stay tuned in and listen to these shows, you're going to learn.
Right.
So.
Which another was staggering kind of is 87% of teenagers don't understand their finances, which don't get me wrong. A lot of 13-year-olds don't have, they don't really have finances.
Right.
But it's also the understanding of the concept of money and what it does. Like, I mean, this is a great example that happened even just Saturday. We were at my son's baseball game. My daughter's like, can I get something from the snack place? So I give her $20. She comes back. She brings me like $4 back. I'm like, what are you doing? I was like, you just wanted one thing. She's like, but I had the money. So, and she knew how much just she could spend. And I'm like, you do know finances. You just think money it's just all handed to you and it doesn't really matter.
Right.
And it really cracked me up because now it was a learning moment for me too. It's like, here's $5. Go.
Yeah. I know one of the things I plan to do with my son is to preload like a little, you know, card that has maybe $100 on it, right? And be like, hey, you know, you're gonna learn how to spend on this, and when it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And teaching that from a really young age, saying, hey, you know, you can only spend this percentage on candy. You can't blow the whole $100 because you've got to make this thing spread out.
A full on allowance, then you're done.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there are creative ways, and, you know, Google's your best friend on that, right? There are creative ways to teach your kids how to make a budget and how to spend money. And if you teach it at a young age, the odds of success later on in life are much higher.
Right. It's just the understanding of the concept of money just isn't there.
And credit cards, I mean, I'm not trying to bash on credit cards because I love credit cards. They have points and they make a lot of sense. They do a lot of things for me. But
if you're responsible,
but like you just said, too often we have this mentality of like money isn't a concrete number. It's just this swiping experience, and at the end of the month there's this number and you deal with it.
Well, especially with children, everything that it's all wants for children. It's not need. Like, you need to keep a roof over your head. You need to pay the insurances. You need to pay all this stuff. You give your money to a child, it's what can I buy? What can I buy? And
not
so there's no concept of it's all just wants. You know, their kids are freeloaders. You know, they just get everything handed to them. But the concept of teaching them to save at a young age will also translate to them saving later on in life.
I like it. Okay. Well, we've been ranting for a while now, Justin. I think it's time to take another obscene profit break. What are we going to talk about when we get back from this break?
Well, we'll go into a little bit of some, you know, some debt stats, some saving stats, and kind of see is this is kind of the issue that we're kind of talking about, that people are not getting taught this at a young age and how it reflects going forward.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, Justin's going to unload this for you. You guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 and 1240 KQEN. We'll be right back.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. I am your host today, Matt Dixon, and with me in studio, the legendary
Justin Bruggeman.
Yes. Now, if you want to go golfing with him, he's got a really busy schedule, but, you know, this guy right here, he's awesome on the golf course. So if you if you want a consultation from Little John Financial and you don't want to do it behind, you know, a desk, maybe he'll take you out golfing. Who knows? Justin, where did we leave our listeners off at?
We were talking about the financial literacy aspect.
Okay.
Which I'm going to go back into something I really don't, because when we were talking about the test,
we
the financial
barely touched
literacy,
on it. We barely touched on this. We were talking about college freshmen, right? And we mentioned that, you know, like 32% of them knew the difference between a credit card and a debit card. Yeah. We need to go back to this, I feel like, and we need to talk about, you know, what does this generation coming up really know? How can we help them?
Well,
take it away.
The worst part is we're not even going the new generation. We're going to our generation.
I can't claim this. I can't. I'm going to exclude myself from this.
Here's the great one.
Okay.
Only 24% of millennials demonstrate basic financial literacy.
Ooh, wait, only 24%?
Only 24%.
Only one out of every four have basic financial skills.
Correct.
Ooh, boy.
Sit and think about that for a minute.
Ooh, boy. I don't even really know what to say to that, to be honest. Do you got anything else for me that's just going to make me depressed, Justin?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay, go ahead. Continue to take it away.
You know, back on the, you know, statistics of the 30% of college incoming freshmen didn't know the difference between debit and credit card, which there was this website of 100,000 students, the 20 most common questions, which I'm not going to list all of them, is a mortgage a personal loan?
Wait, these are questions that the students were asking.
They were asking.
Is a mortgage a personal loan?
What is a credit card and how does it work?
Okay.
Let's see. Sorry, I'm reading some of these.
I'm almost inspired to make a YouTube video right now. Right. Where it's just like, we're going to cover like 20 things that I assumed you knew, but maybe you don't.
Like, can a poor credit score affect my future? I mean, these are not questions that, why is this not taught?
I can answer that because I was a teacher for 8 years. It's not taught because it's not on the state test.
Right.
If we want to get right down to the, you know, to the bare bones of this thing. Teachers are teaching what kids need to know in order to pass tests, and then when their pass rates look good, they look good.
Right.
And it's a horrible thing to have to say, and it's not the teacher's fault, right? Because you're trying to preserve your job and you're trying to do what you're told to do. Your job depends on it. You got to take care of your families. I get it. It's not worked in because it's just not part of the system. We need to look at the system and say, you know, there's gaps. We need to fix them. And maybe we need to rethink on a bigger scale. What are we testing for?
Right.
Because right now, to me, it seems like the system is geared to keep people out of the light, right? Like, if we're not teaching basic knowledge that you need in order to survive in our modern world, then what is your education worth?
Right.
So there, I said it. Yeah. It's on air.
Rant over.
Yeah. Well, it's not really over, but.
Well, it's a matter of it's the molding. It's when you're looking at what is going to progress, you know, even the generations to come, if they don't have a basic understanding of finances.
Yeah, that's like a baseline that you have to have, and it's not there.
I mean, give an 18-year-old a checkbook and see what he does with it. He wouldn't even know what to do with it.
No. I mean,
how
many
people
don't even know how to write a check? Yeah. I mean, that's real. And you're thinking, if you're listening and you're like, oh, come on, seriously. No, I'm being serious. The numbers don't lie. Our research that we did doesn't lie.
Yeah. And this is not just bashing on the younger generation at all. Which we're going into, you know, more the debt stats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is everyone, not necessarily younger generation.
Right.
It's older generation as well. 30% of Americans' income goes to debt, which you kind of touched on that earlier, mm-hmm. which the baseline when you're trying to buy your home or when you're trying to fit a home into your budget, it's like 35% of your income is kind of max is
right.
what
and
your
I think
mortgage
that was
should be.
Excluding it, right? Because,
no.
I mean...
Yeah, I'm saying that yeah. when you're going to get a home loan,
mm-hmm.
they're usually their range is between 30 to 35%. That's what you get approved for.
Yeah.
So you're approved for 30%. Your debt's 30%. You're 60% in there.
Right.
Just
so
covering
you
your mortgage. So
your
that's,
mortgage
you know, that's
debt.
60% mm-hmm. is personal debt and, you know, your mortgage.
Right. Well, I know that on average in the U.S. right now that if you look at what is the average household dealing with debt-wise, excluding the mortgage, it was like $23,000
yeah.
of debt. That's not minimal.
No. It is not, which, I mean, some of it's, you know, depending on where you live, like, you know, we live in rural Oregon, so mm-hmm. having a dependable car matters unless yep. you have three cars, you know, a spare.
Right. The public transportation system
it's
isn't
not
gonna
an option.
Do it for you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's not an option.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think it is, but depending
and
on where you live.
That would probably skew our numbers higher because, I mean, look at the cost of a new vehicle, right?
Yeah.
Like, you kind of have to have something reliable and...
I think that does include it.
Okay, yeah.
Because then it goes to average credit card debt for Americans is, you know, just under $6,300.
Okay.
So if you have more than that, you're above average. If you have less than that, you're winning.
I just want to encourage everyone with credit card debt to figure out a way to get rid of it. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're paying the really high rates on the credit card...
That have only gone up.
Yeah, that's just going to hold you down. And mm-hmm. I mean, I know we can't give, you know, financial advice on air. And I don't really feel like that's necessarily personalized financial advice. I'm just saying, hey, like, if you can take care of the debt that's charging you a lot of interest, that's probably a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And which it's always what is the most common argument is, I don't make enough money. I should make more money.
Maybe spend less money, right? That's
well, it is
yeah.
because... You go to, it's almost 20% of people that make $100,000 or more still live paycheck to paycheck.
You know, it doesn't surprise me. And I'm going to, maybe I'll give people a little bit of grace because we've been hammering. We've been going off
mean.
On this show.
Little
we've
mean.
Been ranting a little bit. But $100,000 just doesn't go nearly as far as it used to.
Right.
Which, inflation yeah. numbers are just insane. The cost of a new vehicle, you know, $40,000-$50,000. Yeah. But it's still staggering to look at the numbers and say, you know, what does it take to make it work? And I think when you and I were looking at this, though, the thing that really threw me and I couldn't quite understand it was looking at like median household income. I think you were in the top 50% of earners if you were over, what was it, $40,000 a year?
Yeah, I think it was 70.
Oh, was
73, it? I think was what
okay.
it was. But you were in the top half, which it wasn't of earners. That was the taxes. Okay, so I was
yeah.
talking about different.
I think it was $40,000 a year.
Yeah, something like that.
Put like if you're...
In the U.S.
Right. But...
Which then, you know, we even kind of go back to which the 30% of, you know, income goes to debt.
Mm-hmm.
So it was... And this is just the savings. So 40% of Americans have less than $300 in their savings account.
Wow.
And then on the other side of that, 40% of Americans have an auto loan as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't budget to save any money, but you can budget to have an auto loan.
Hmm. Wow, that really gets someone thinking about priority structures,
yeah.
right? Like... There's only so much money to go around. Where does it need to go?
Right. And where does it fit?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, because you're paying 30% on a mortgage, 30% on debt. I guess that would include the vehicle as well. You're
yeah.
living on 40, which household expenses are probably close to that amount. Where do you have room for retirement savings, emergency fund savings, which what? Medium household bank account. $5,000 in a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
That is scary.
Yeah, I mean, that you're one bad event. Like, yeah. Say you're a homeowner and your roof starts leaking and you need a new roof. Well, you don't have the money to cover it. Yeah. So I think if you're sitting there wondering, where is Justin and Matt going with all of this? I think it goes back to what we're saying is we have a debt problem, number one. We have a lack of savings problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have a financial literacy problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we have problems that are still continuing to affect us from COVID.
Right.
We got problems.
Right.
But we say all of this to say, hey, recognize it if you have a problem, and then the next part is go and fix it.
Yeah.
How do they fix it, Justin?
Well, they establish a plan would be the first
There's
part.
A good portion, right, of it. Yeah, like you got to have a plan. Otherwise, right. You're just spinning your wheels for what? You don't know why you're spinning them. You're just right. Spinning. So getting a plan in place, that's a good one. Educating yourself, we talked about this. Find some resources. There are so many out there.
Oh,
we don't have to be your resource.
Right.
There are a ton of ways to learn about this. So,
you know, I mean, we could always be a sound bank for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you have questions, especially which I'm looking at this as educating the younger kids, is
yeah.
Anything we can do to help educate our future, because, you know, eventually down the road, somebody younger than me is going to, you know, take my job, and hopefully I get to retire someday.
Mm-hmm.
They need to have the literacy and the understanding to not only help themselves and help others as well that don't quite understand.
Yeah, and we have a video series for kids
right.
on YouTube for mm-hmm. kids to go and check out and to learn the basics. So we've been putting in the work to try and help with this. So go utilize it, right? And have conversations with your kids or your grandkids and be a positive influence in other people's lives so that we can start to fix this problem.
Right. Otherwise, we're just going to compound the problem.
Yes, exactly.
Because the people that are that financially illiterate are going to raise more financially.
It sounds brutal, but it's honest and it's true. And I think you make a good point. We got to break the cycle somewhere.
Right.
And we wanted to go on air and say, hey, it's a wake-up time. We're looking at the past and what's happened and saying, at some point, it's got to change. And too often, people are pointing the finger at Washington, right? Like,
right.
fix our problems. It's like, sometimes you got to fix it yourself, yeah. right? Like, you got to get down and dirty, get in there, and do some work to make it better. And if you're sitting there listening and saying, you know, it'll be fine. I'm challenging you to get up and take some action here.
Yeah.
So, okay, Justin, we're getting ready to go on break here.
Yep.
But when we get back, what do we want to
talk about? We're going to end on more of a positive note.
Okay.
When you come back, but you have to wait to hear.
All right. So, you guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show, where Justin and Matt are ranting about all of the negativity and stats that they can. But when we get back, you're going to hear some planning. You guys are listening to True Wealth on 93.9 and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where we have been ranting, raving, throwing stats all over the place, talking about debt, talking about financial literacy, talking about all the impacts that COVID had on the country. Justin, let's get into the more positive portion of this show. You've been waiting for it. You've
right.
been sticking around this whole time saying, okay, I get it. Things are a little grim. We need some reform on our, you know, education system, and we need to do a better job talking to our kids about money. But we are where we are. Things have happened. What can we do different? How can we change things right now?
Well, it's not going to be all positive. But
okay.
What we're kind of segmenting into is have a plan. make a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Set goals, set understandings for savings for retirement and savings for emergency funds, and trying to, if we go through another, say, call it COVID again, which mm-hmm. hopefully that doesn't ever happen again, but if it does, be prepared. Because if you're going paycheck to paycheck and they shut the economy down, I'm sorry.
Yep.
It's still going to be tough.
Starting,
and this goes back to, you know, educating your children, you know, the schools should be educating too, is start saving, start early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the difference in everyone talks about high paying jobs, right?
Right.
That's what we talk about. Well, if I could just make this much a year, and I go back and I counter and say, well, what if you just started working at 18 and started putting money into a Roth? Or mm-hmm. an IRA or a 401k.
Or a savings account.
Or a savings account or something. What if you just started putting money away consistently every month and then you were careful with debt? What if we just start there? What if you start your retirement account early? Because if the difference between starting at 30 and starting at 18 on your retirement account, given average historical returns, is millions of dollars in difference. So it's like, if we want to build generational wealth, what we do is we save.
Yeah.
We don't put ourselves in a huge amount of debt. We take the opportunity to educate our young, mm-hmm. and we start contributing.
Right.
That's what a lot of this comes down to.
Yeah, because, I mean, when we were looking at, you know, another not fun statistic, I guess.
Hit me with it, Justin. We're already there. We're in the mud.
Median 401k account balance for somebody under 25.
Okay, so if you're under 25, start churning the number in your head. How much do you have saved up? Justin, drumroll, what is that?
$1,817.
Less than $2,000 for people under 25 in their retirement account. That is not good.
No.
No.
It's a slow, and you ask anybody in their, 30s, 40s, 50s, what mm-hmm. is the first thing that they're going to say about their retirement accounts or investment accounts?
You know what I hear? I'll be honest. You know what? I'm going to start soon. Yeah. That's what I hear. I'll start soon.
Or it's, I wish I would have started earlier.
Mm-hmm. You hear that one
That's
lot too.
Always, it's like, I'm playing catch up, which you are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and playing catch up is much, much more expensive. It's
more painful.
And much harder to do. So if you're young and you happen to be listening, give us a call. Let's at least point you in the right direction. We might not be able to help you, right? This isn't a sales pitch, but we can point you in the right direction. We'd love to do that because we want to see more and more people having success in their futures.
Well, one in four Americans have a financial plan.
Okay, so 25% of you guys have a plan.
So if you know four people,
mm-hmm. yeah,
three of you don't.
Oof.
Well, depending on the people you surround yourself with, but. And it's not saying, spend a ton of money and, schedule a plan unless it's necessary.
You don't need an exotic plan.
Right.
Most of the time, right?
Which, most common, most people put it in a spreadsheet and say, or and have a goal is, how much do I need to retire?
Right. This can be basic math.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be complex. You're talking about retirement accounts. Go online there. We have it on our website too, but find any investment calculator.
Yeah.
Type in
savings
how old
calculator.
You are. Type in how old you are when you want to retire. Mm-hmm. I know that 70% of Americans, their retirement plan is to keep working.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Most people don't actually plan to retire. They plan to work until they drop.
Right.
I don't recommend that because you got to be able to spend quality time with your family
mm-hmm.
when you're older. Support those grandkids. Teach those grandkids. And it's a lot harder to do it if you're always working. And I don't want to be 85 and working.
Right. And there's a lot of budgeting tools, savings tools. I mean, you can do anything on a cell phone anymore.
They're there.
A lot of them are free. If you need to pay for one, I guess go ahead. Just make sure it's makes sense. There's a lot of options out there, and if those options don't work for you, give us a call.
Yeah,
because
Justin,
we can help.
How do they get a hold of us if they want to talk?
Well, call the office 541-375-0898 or
you can
email us at info@littlejohnfs.com.
Yeah. We even have a chat feature, I believe, on the website where you can go on there and chat and someone will get back to you.
Don't we even have a text feature? I don't even know.
Yeah, we do. You can actually text that number, 541-375-0898. And, you know, someone will get back to you. But whether it's us or whether it's someone else, I don't really care. I just want you to be successful and set yourself up.
For success.
Yeah. So start spending less money. So clip some coupons. Substitute some things out. Cancel right. those subscriptions that are not being used. Talk to a good advisor. If you need a good CPA, find someone. Like, surround yourself with the people that you need in order to be successful. I think the biggest mistake people make is in being too fearful to actually place the call or to reach out.
Right.
People want to help, right? Like, yeah, at the end of the day, do we get paid to help? Sometimes, not all the time though, right? Like
right.
there's plenty of times where we're not getting paid and we're helping people out and we're okay with that. So,
I mean, create an emergency fund.
That's a great place to start.
That's your start.
I mean, what would you recommend?
Typically, it's 3 to 6 months of monthly expenses. So again, mm-hmm. you know, if you have a mortgage and 30% in credit card debt too,
oof.
That it's going to be bigger. But right. having that cushion eliminates a lot of problems that are going to affect you later in life.
Right. Like let's just play the hypothetical game. I know we're running out of time, but if you have the cushion, maybe you don't have to put the roof repair on the credit card.
Right.
And then the credit card starts dinging you interest. And then the interest becomes a problem. And then you're only making the minimum payments. And then, okay, you get where I'm going.
It's the oh crap fund.
Yes, that's right. Okay, you guys, we're running out of time. We got to get out of here. But as always, if you need to reach us, it's Little John Financial. You guys have been listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 and 1240 KQN. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
The preceding program was paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.